I will not try to pretend that we don't envy you that you have such a poet as Seamus Heaney. We do. But we, I mean readers of poetry in Poland, we are luckier because we have not one Seamus Heaney. We have many Heaneys. With each new translation, a different Seamus Heaney speaks to us. Some of them are more colloquial, some of them are more musical, some of them are more lyrical, some of them even might as well be Polish poets. Now, this is the miracle of literary translation, I think, that it multiplies poets. Now, we have two canonical translations of Seamus Heaney into Polish, although there are a number of other translators working on the translations of Seamus Heaney's poetry. The two main translators were Piotr Zomer and Stanisław Barańczak. And both are also, or I would say primarily, poets. And it is as poets that they approached Seamus Heaney's works and rendered them into Polish. So thanks to there are many translations that we have in Polish. Seamus Heaney is, in his many incarnations, a poet who talks with us, Polish poets, who quarrels with us, and who lets us quarrel with him. Now, the three poems that I will read tonight are the poems which I have translated specifically for this occasion, for this reading, which happens on the eve, or almost on the eve, of your birthday. Happy birthday, Seamus. Now, they are my favorites, or they belong to my favorites. And they are also, despite their apparent simplicity, challenges to translators. The Railway Children. It ends with this fabulous line about the eponymous children streaming through the eye of the needle. Well, it seems simple, but in Polish, the needle doesn't have an eye, it has an ear. I wonder if the children streaming through the needle's ear are the same children that in the Irish version streamed through the needle's eye. No, they can't be the same children. In the poem, which, let me remark, is so much about the power of seeing, I think, of how the eye half perceives and half creates. I kept the Polish idiom, the one with the ear, but I hereby promise that when I translate this poem again, and I do believe that poems should be translated as often as they are read, I will try to find an idiom, a Polish idiom, with an eye, even at the cost of departing from the original biblical image. We deserve a variety of railway children. Here's one of them. Kolejowe dzieci. Kiedyśmy się wspinali na zbocze wykopu. Na poziomie oczu miałem białe kubki, słupów telegraficznych i skwierczące druty. Rozciągały się daleko, jak odręczne pismo, na wschód i na zachód za nami, zwisając pod ciężarem zmęczonych jaskółek. Wiedzieliśmy, dzieci, że nie wiemy nic, co winniśmy wiedzieć. I że słowa wędrują po drutach w lśniących sakiewkach kropel po niedawnym deszczu. Jak worki pełne ziarna, tylko że ze światłem, prosto z nieba, z lśnieniem drutów z nami, którzyśmy się skurczyli tak całkiem bez granic, że mogliśmy się przecisnąć przez ucho igielne. The Spoonbait. That's one of the poems about ordinary objects transfigured by the poet's visions, like the biretta or the riddle. The Polish word for the spoonbait is roughly the shining thing, the shining object. Luminescence is one of the themes of this poem, so I like the Polish equivalent. But then, on the other hand, I was well aware that the word spoonbait is so effective in the Irish poem because it is so technical, so ordinary, so down to earth. And it comes as an utter surprise when I read that the soul can be compared to a spoon bait. I think we are in the world equal lovers are like compasses. Well, something is lost in translation. This is a commonplace, and Robert Frost was right when he said that poetry is what is lost in translation. But a former tutor of mine and a friend, an English poet, Peter Levy, used to say, yes, we lost when we translate, but we lose much more when we don't translate. So off we go, spoonbait. Błystka. Tak oto dostajemy nowe porównanie i mówimy, dusza jest na podobieństwo błystki, którą dziecko przypadkiem odkrywa pod drewnianą zasuwką piórnika. Raz mignie i na zawsze zostaje w pamięci. Wzlatuje swobodnie, wystrzeliwszy znikąd. Gwiazda, która w mrok się coraz wyżej wzbija. Ucieka dziecku z ręki, parzy uciekając, jak jedyna kropla, której pragnął bogacz, gdy spadał w wiecznym locie do wielkiej otchłani. Potem znika błyszczący szyszak bohatera, złożony na śródokręciu nad rozczochraną tonią, albo też zabawka ze światła pod prąd zarzucona, przelatuje przez dziecko, nie zahacza o nic. And finally, the annals say, a poem which I like because it tells us in a most matter-of-fact way what is most unmatter-of-fact. The translator is tempted to fly off when he or she translates a poem about this miraculous event, but then is reminded that we translators should be like the mythological Antaeus. We should keep down to the ground and to the real thing, to keep the poem's miraculous equilibrium. Tak mówią kroniki, gdy mnisi z Knock My Noise oddawali się wespół modlitwą w kaplicy, w powietrzu ponad nimi zawisł wielki korab. Ciągnął łańcuch za sobą z kotwicą tak nisko, że zaczepiła jedną z balustrad ołtarza. Kadłub nagle wierzgnął, po czym znieruchomiał. Zza burty wychynął marynarz, spuścił się na linię, by odkotwiczyć statek na próżno. On przecież nie przeżyje, za chwilę utonie, chyba że przyjdziemy, rzekł opat, z pomocą. No i przyszli, a statek pożeglował dalej, gdy człowiek po linie wrócił z świata cudów, jaki mu przyszło poznać. Thank you.